Good morning, friends. It's good to be with you always. We're in week three of our series that's looking at our North Valley priorities that flow out of our mission statement. Our mission statement, which I'm trying to memorize, North Valley Friends Church is a community of ministers, a Quaker community of ministers seeking to follow Jesus Christ faithfully, to love each other deeply, and to continue his ministry in the world. How'd I do? Oh. The first week, Colin talked us through authentic community. And last week, Lynn invited us to think about generous and sustainable use of our resources. And this week, we're considering passionate spiritual formation. And as we begin, I invite you to hold these words of Jesus from John 15. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I have loved you. Welcome to worship. Before offering a few words on spiritual formation, I'm going to show you a video. I invited some of our friends to respond to two questions about spiritual formation and had over 40 minutes of great reflection that I have pared down to a little over 9.
So first question, if we're completed in Christ by grace and there's nothing we can do to make God love us more or less, then why trouble with spiritual formation? In my own journey, it's curious the whole statement of there's nothing we can do to make God love us more or less, because I still don't get that or understand that. And I think I still very much am working for God's approval. And so perhaps it's just a lifelong journey of sanctification is spiritual formation is needed, because I still desperately need to become aware of God's love for me or acceptance of because it's something that I still have a hard time fathoming. So perhaps in the arms of grace, once I've passed away, I'll totally understand that. But for now, I'm still coming to terms with it. So it's why I need spiritual formation.
Way that I just wonder if what spiritual formation is coming to a deeper awareness and responsiveness to God's love. As I become more aware of God's love and responding to it, I become more like Christ and I become a more loving person. And I think that's what spiritual formation is. I mean, I know lots of good stuff has been said, books have been written, great books have been written about spiritual formation, but I guess right now, for me, that spiritual formation just simply comes down to growing in my awareness of God's love, that goes far beyond what I can ever know. I mean, what I know of God's love is just scratching the surface. So I think that's what spiritual formation is. And I think, you know, so what's the point, you know, why worry about spiritual formation? Because I want to know and I want to experience and I want to express more and more of God's love.
The other word picture for me is, you remember that story of the guy named Captain Sully? He was an airline pilot. And he was the one who was able to land a plane that had just run into a bunch of birds, and he lost both engines, and all of a sudden he had to land the plane in the Hudson River. And I think about that moment in his life and the lives of the hundreds of others whose lives were saved because of his work, is that Captain Sully didn't just try harder to be a good pilot that day. He had trained a lot of his life for that day. so that in the unguarded moment, he was able to land a plane on a river. Because of all the training and muscle memory and reaction speed and thinking under duress, all that stuff. So I think about that when it comes to spiritual formation. Why is it, why trouble with it? Maybe it has to do with why we're here, why we're alive, what our purpose is. Maybe that we're not meant to be spiritually formed so that we could be loved, but so that we can love well in the unguarded moment, that in moments, not just big emergency moments, but in big and small moments of our lives, we can show up, our true selves can show up, and we could react in this world like maybe Christ would.
I've been transformed through love. I've already expressed that I feel a little bit lost and a little bit undereducated about faith, but I know that even if that's true, that love is still the foundational piece of it all. And no matter what, love is the way to express and be a good little, I don't know, what do you call it? Little sheep of God. I think that's a good way to put it. This can be done through making a big effort to include other people, whether that's through different minorities or groups or whatever, or labelings, but also just those that seem like they're out of place, especially in places like schools, where that happens a lot. Inclusion of others is huge, and that's something that I've had a lot on my trail of life so far.
A lot.
And that inclusion and caring and taking care of others and expressing love and being shown love has transformed my faith to a place of joy and peace. And I think that's really special, especially because people are meant to be in communities, and that's a big part of life. But yes.
I know a lot of my friends, they know that I try to live by a Romans 12 mentality. And that includes, you know, challenging each day what I think to be true, so that I know that I am seeing all the options around me, not the options, but, you know, making sure that I'm questioning what's around me so that I have a better understanding of what's around me, even if it doesn't always align with what I agree, because it's how I grow. And it's even like these questions in general. When Lisa approached me to do the video response on these questions, I was hesitant. I was anxious, but it was that anxiousness and that reminded me this is exactly the reason why I do stuff like this, is because it's not easy all the time. And there are times where you are anxious, but it's still, you know, by pushing into something or doing something that isn't always comfortable, it allows us to transform the way that we see things. And I am grateful for it.
Some practices that I've discovered or uncovered across my life that I have found to be formative, transformative. Probably the biggest thing is learning about the importance of Sabbath and recognizing that as a commandment, and to truly rest and engaging in that with intentionality. And recently, the act of apologizing, recognizing and admitting, naming when I see I'm causing harm in some manner, and then really working to shift my behaviors and my natural instincts. These are some practices that have and are continuing to be transformative.
She's John Wesley and Charles Wesley's mother.
My mom,
What did she pursue, honey? She pursued quiet.
God.
And just quiet reflection time, even while she was raising her kids. And she had 19 kids.
19 kids?
Yeah. So her approach purportedly was to put her apron over her head. And when she had her apron over her head, that was supposed to be her kids' sign to give her some quiet space so that she could pray. This has not really worked so well in our house so far. The process of parenting a young child is tremendously spiritually formative for me. When I really let my heart and mind be open to it, this is a real-life, hands-on workshop in learning patience and love and selflessness and joy and gentleness. This is my spiritual formation right now.
During grad school in my early 30s, I hit a faith crisis of sorts. I didn't know what was socially constructed, what I could hold on to with any kind of confidence, or what could I still believe in. So I took a day to the beach, assuming I could solve it all in one day. And as I walked along the coast alone, God in my heart had a long conversation. I talked and maybe argued and tried to listen and pray and journaled. And at the end of that day, I chose to affirm two things. One of them was that God existed. There had to be a source. There had to be a creator, a sustainer. I just couldn't imagine life without it. And the second was that source, which I was comfortable enough calling God, had to be defined by love. Two primary themes stood out from this video, these words of our friends, and the first reinforced where I landed that day. Spiritual formation starts with love. See if this statement resonates. Spiritual formation starts with making space to experience how deeply we are loved by God. That may sound easy, but it is not. Part of the challenge is so little is required of us. We can't do anything to earn it. It doesn't feel worthwhile. It might even feel like a waste of time. So it takes intention. It takes letting go some need to be productive. It takes practice and humility. And the second theme is one that Paul articulated really well in the video. As we become more aware of and responsive to God's love, we become more like Christ. And express love like Jesus did. And that kind of loving takes intention and practice. Sometimes practicing being Christ-like looks like including, welcoming, befriending all people, as Ella described. And we practice by pushing into what is uncomfortable, doing what is challenging, as Candace said. But it starts with being filled with God's love that then overflows and pours out in expressions of love. And making space for the filling is no small task. The pouring out that follows, sometimes it seems seamless and sometimes not. Both parts take practice. So here's a tweak to that statement. Spiritual formation starts by making space to experience how deeply we are loved by God. And from that place to practice and express love. Last week, Sunshine used a Mobius strip to describe how investment inside of North Valley ends up flowing out. I can't do this with only one hand, but she told you that I had a wooden one. Carl Berkey made this, for those of you who know it. I don't know how a Mobius strip is made. But I think this also fits for spiritual formation. A Mobius defies our assumptions of inside and outside, and if you follow it along with your finger, what was outside becomes inside, and what was inside becomes outside. It only has one side and one edge. And if it all turns on love, perhaps it's not surprising that as we become more deeply aware of, awake to God's love, we glide on that Mobius edge, becoming more Christ-like, which turns that love outward. All this niceness aside, some of us have a shaky history with a word like spiritual formation or quiet time or discipleship. Like others of you, I was formed as a child by the quiet time I was taught to start every day with, which included reading the Bible, memorizing it, prayers of confession and petition and thanksgiving and praise. The focus for me wasn't so much on God's love as it was an obedience to a discipline that would draw me toward God and form me into the likeness of Jesus, which are great aspirations. My father modeled that. He was a military person, so he may have drilled it into us. And he maintained a quiet time throughout his whole life. At the end of it, when we were transitioning from bed to wheelchair to sofa, he wanted to be wheeled into his study first, where he would sit over his open Bible, kind of head bowed. It looked as though he was sleeping. After a while, we'd touch him on the shoulder and ask if he was ready to go to the sofa, and he'd nod, and there would often be tears in his eyes. And I thought, you know, he's probably not sleeping. He's probably resting in the gaze of God's love. But growing up, quiet times felt like a performance measure of spiritual growth. And Dad was doing the best he knew, but I chafed when he asked me what I was reading and what God was teaching me. So not surprising, when I left home, I left off that practice. Though I came to notice I was missing something, and maybe it was just the rhythm, that familiar rhythm, but I think it also might have been a centering that came from making space intentionally to be with God, however I might have been chafing at it. Throughout the busy seasons of raising kids and developing professionally, I lost and found that rhythm multiple times. What I've learned, as have our video respondents, is that there are many ways to make space for God, for experiencing God's love, that it might flow into expressions of love. Here are four nuggets that were shared in part of what you saw and also the extended version. While everyone affirmed that being transformed by love takes practice and training, different seasons of life invite different formative practices. Maybe this extra special full season is actually inviting the practice of Sabbath keeping. Sierra started her video with Jonah in another room, holding a cup of tea and talking about practices that had really served her well over the years, reading scripture and other devotional material, journaling, seeing a spiritual director, taking personal retreats. Now her spiritual practice is parenting Jonah with patience, selflessness, joy, gentleness. So to tweak our statement one last time, spiritual formation is making space along our life journey in the ways open to us so that we experience how deeply we are loved by God and from that place to practice and express love. Second nugget, there are many kinds of practices, and while valuable, not only the classic ones count. Some named familiar individual ones like prayer and solitude, reading scripture, attentive walks in the woods, tending gardens, making art, and familiar collective ones like sitting in both programmed and unprogrammed meetings, acts of service, music making. A person who attends our unprogrammed meeting, not one of the video respondents, told me that sitting with others during that time, that silence every week was his most formative practice. He said he'd never choose to sit like that otherwise. He needed others to do it with, listening to God together, sensing the love and invitations of God, both alone and together. Some in the video mentioned less familiar practices, the examen, Lectio Divina, observing the Sabbath, a practice of generosity, meeting with a spiritual director. Yes, spiritual formation comes through practicing Christian disciplines and also through living our ordinary lives awake to God's love and responding to whatever is in front of us in this moment, both of which take intention and practice. You can walk in the woods with inattention. You can walk in the woods with great attention. Third nugget, spiritual forming shines the light of Christ into hidden places, like sunshine being invited into a practice of apologizing. That was a new one for me. I imagine that she has come to trust God's love enough to welcome God's gentle, corrective forming, which includes showing us where we get in the way of love, where our self has become too large, become a self that's easily offended, that offends, that demands, so that we can't see clearly God's love for us, and we can't clearly express God's love well. And maybe it's the same light of Christ shining into hidden spaces that invites Tim to acknowledge he needs spiritual forming to be able to rest in the grace that believes he can't do anything to make God love him more or less. I imagine Tim speaks for a lot of us here. It's not an easy truth to rest into, and I wonder if the capacity to do so might also ebb and flow over the course of life. I felt embraced by God's love in childhood and adolescence, but lost trust in it. Maybe I got distracted by the demands of what felt like real life. I knew God loved the world, but I couldn't imagine that God saw me from out of the multitudes, that I was God's beloved, and to imagine I was God's beloved sounded arrogant and, frankly, a bit weird. Yet I saw others who had experienced and were experiencing that kind of love, and I thirsted for it. So I found a spiritual director and a Catholic center in our Midwest town where Mark and I would occasionally go sit with others in silence for 40 minutes, and the thirsting began slowly to be quenched. Fourth and final nugget, living as ones seeking to be spiritually transformed by love puts us on a journey marked by joy and community. Ella noted her spiritual journey being marked by joy and spoke of community as part of that. We are spiritually formed as we do church together with all that entails, including the laughter that ripples through the meeting house when Colin and Paul do what they do. They throw jests at each other. Our smiles as Jonah dances and plays imaginary flutes and fiddles and drums. When laughter comes out of the church kitchen or the labyrinth gardens as folks work in those spaces. We are spiritually formed by joy as we celebrate each other's wins, which we do a lot here, as we play together, when we're generous with each other and our generosity flows and our joy spills into our broader community. Practicing spiritual formation as a community reminds us that we belong to God and to each other, and we are formed by and we form each other. We practice alone and we practice together. So that in ordinary times and extraordinary times, we experience God's love and respond with love, with a honed attention, with muscle memory. As Rusty said, maybe we land a plane on a river. Maybe we simply do good, exude love in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our places of work and study. To help nudge you towards practicing this rhythm of love, there's a sheet in your bulletin with fall and winter small groups offering spiritual formation in various layered ways. And they encourage you to consider what is your capacity in this season. Especially note the last two, which are on the back side. They're different than what we've offered in the past. The final one is very accessible, touch point groups. We're encouraging everyone who's not otherwise in some kind of a small group to become connected through a touch point group. limited commitment that you as a group define. The second to last one, practicing the practices, a covenant community, offers a place to practice with intention together for a season for those who have desire and also capacity to do so. Let me know if either of those, you feel invited toward either of those, and you'll see who to contact for other groups. I am excited and appreciate the work of the Spiritual Formation Council on pulling this together. One of our collective spiritual practices is to listen together. And as we enter a time of open worship, I'm going to have us reflect on the verse that I read at the beginning that Joel also referred to. If you feel invited to speak a word for all of us out of this time, please be faithful to do so. If you feel God's giving you a word, please be faithful in that as well. As you read these words of Jesus, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. This is my command. Love one another the way I have loved you.